Hey, God, we want to hear from you. We want your word to penetrate our hearts that are sometimes a little too hard. We pray, Lord, that your word will be like a double-edged sword through Andrew today, to change stuff in us for the better. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Nate. I just want to thank Sandy as well. Sandy did an amazing job helping organize Red Shield Appeal this year. And if you're watching, Sandy, you didn't even do yourself a certificate. So we'll do one for her next week, eh? She's at home with Ellie, who's a bit sick. It's that time of year, isn't it? What else do I want to say? I don't know, something that'll come up later. All right. This morning I want to talk about, well, it's Pentecost, which is when we celebrate, not so much the coming of the Holy Spirit, because he was always around. He was around in creation, but the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, when he was made available for everyone in his fullness. So I just want to ask you this morning, and this other thing, right? Once you become a Christian, you are a minister. Is that okay? Just if I want to freak you out. You don't need to wait till you get a position of ministry to do ministry. Once you become a Christian, you're supposed to start sharing that with other people. Actually, normally when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, we can't help but share what's happened with us with other people. Other times it's scary and we push through that, but the Holy Spirit was poured out. Jesus said, "You will be witnesses." So the Holy Spirit was poured out so that his people would be witnesses to the ends of the earth. So I got a couple of pictures I want to show you. I was going to get a haircut on Thursday, but decided to go home and have a nap instead. I know I'm going a bit 80s, that's all right. All right, got a picture? Look at that. Now, I just want to ask you, have you ever done life or ministry that way? That's the hard way. That's doing it in your own strength, with your own ideas, and, you know, that's what it looks like. Hard work. But the Holy Spirit was poured out so that we could do ministry this way. Dun, dun, dun. Does that look easier? That looks a lot easier. That's the whole purpose of Pentecost, was it so we could do ministry and life this way, not the other way. So that's what I want to talk about. It's interesting, Nate's prayer this morning, because, you know, it is a bit of a hard word I've got to share this morning. So if you're up for it, buckle in and let's see where we go. The word for power, and here's a confession too. You know, you should always check out what I say. Do you read the Bible? You should read the Bible and you should check out whether I'm in error or not. And I've said this before. I'm accountable for what I teach. You're accountable for what you believe. Now, here's something I got wrong, and I've said it wrong here before, so I just want to make it right. Right? The word dunamis, the Greek word for power, which is used in this story of Acts where the Spirit of God is poured out, that's where we get the word dynamite from, right? And there's times before when I said, you know, God comes in power and blows things up. Well, that's actually not true. Here's a better definition, so I repent of that definition, and here's the right definition, right? The New Testament, the word power means power, might, strength, force, capability. That's a cool word, hey? It's not a destructive. They form the English word dynamite from this Greek root, right? From the, you know, the guy who made the, you know that story, the Nobel Peace Prize guy was the guy that created dynamite. And then he created the Nobel Peace Prize because he didn't want to be remembered for being the guy who created dynamite, hey? So dynamite's not a great thing, but dunamis is a great thing because it's not destructive, it's creative. It brings capability. It conveys the idea of great power. It's focused on the idea of ability or capability. The idea of power conveyed in this Greek word dunamis carries the idea of long-lasting, enduring strength. How good is that? Yeah, what I've seen a lot of ministries in my time start well but not finish well. Anyone can start something, but it takes Holy Spirit power to finish something. Is that okay? Do you want to do things in your strength or the Holy Spirit's strength? I've tried doing things. I'm not very gifted or anything, right? Just so you know, just if you think I've got it together, I don't. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm in a lot of trouble. And those of you who've journeyed with me a while, hey, Dawny, seen me on my bad days. And without the Holy Spirit, you don't want to see me, right? So we want the Holy Spirit. That's where the love comes. That's where the joy comes. That's where the wisdom comes, from the Holy Spirit, not from us. So you ready for some power of the Holy Spirit in your life? There's more than these, but I'm just touching on four keys today. Just checking I had four fingers up. Because I am that smart. All right, the first one is God's power works through us when we obey. There's a word we all dislike. In Acts 1:4, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, this is Jesus after he rose from the dead, he gave them this command. Underlined, I didn't underline it there. There's some handouts on your seats, so I underlined it on those. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I find it interesting to note that he doesn't say he gave them this. Can we have that verse up again? While he was eating with them, he gave them this suggestion. We like suggestions, don't we? Because, you know, you can take it or leave it. You know what? God gave us free will, so we can take or leave his commands, but it's to our detriment, just so you know. One Bible commentator says this, it was notable on the behalf of the disciples who heard this and then did what Jesus said. This was notable obedience. Jesus told them to return to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what they did. They didn't forget the sermon right after they heard it. Just waiting for that to drop. Hey, how good are we at that? Hey? James says, in the book of James, it says, he who is like looking in the mirror and going away and forgetting what you just saw. Hey? You know what? The word of God is actually dangerous unless you put it into practice. Because when you hear it, you're then accountable. You're better off not to even hear it than to hear it and then not put it into practice. Told you it's going to be a hard word today. Commanded means an announcement from one to another who is at one side, such as what must be done. Usually with the idea of a command or a charge. In secular Greek, it was a military term describing transmission of strict orders from a commander and emphasizing what the commanding, that the commanding was done authoritatively. It was also used for doctor's prescription or instruction to their patient. I love this. I mean, I haven't been in war, right? But in the military, it's a bit authoritarian. And we don't like authoritarian today. And I know there's a right place and a wrong place for authoritarian kind of leadership. But when you're on a battlefield and people are chucking grenades at you, you probably don't want to have a committee meeting. Is that right? Or let's just have a planning meeting and think what we should do about these grenades flying at our heads. No, you want someone to tell you what to do. Isn't that right? Well, friends, we're in a spiritual battle. And it's not time for a committee meeting. It's time to hear the command of the leader of the army, Jesus Christ, and do what he says so you don't get blown up by something. Is that okay? Flopping committee meetings. Done with them. When man wants to plan something, he has a committee. When God wants something, he calls a man or a woman. One, usually, Moses, Noah, you name them. Can't find any committee meetings in the Bible. Have a look. committee meetings. I've been in so many waste of time meetings in my life. God, save me from them. God, save me. No, they're just a waste of time. Better move on, hadn't I? Point two. God's power works through us when we wait. I've ranted on enough about this back on April 30. If you missed it, look up on the website, Facebook, April 30's message. It's there. Whole message about waiting. It's a horrible message. I dare you to listen to it. I dare you. So I'm not going to linger on that today. But the same verse, Acts 1:4, says on one occasion, we read it before, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait, wait. Who's good at waiting? Yeah, no one put their hand up. An important key here is to trust God's timing. God has perfect plans. Listen to this. This is really interesting, right? Jesus ascended to heaven 40 days after the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit came 10 days after that. That's why we actually... And honor to the Salvation Army today, right? They shifted Red Shield to last weekend because they didn't want the Red Shield appeal on Pentecost weekend. How good is that? Really glad we put God before money. It's really important, okay? So 50 days after we celebrate Easter Sunday, we have Pentecost. Well, it's 10 days after Jesus ascended and he told them to wait, that there was what they call in Jerusalem the Feast of Weeks. There was God-fearing Jews from all over the then known world, and it was a key time they came to Jerusalem as a time of celebration when God gave the Torah, or the law, to Moses. Okay, so if the disciples hadn't waited 10 days, if they hadn't done what Jesus told them to do, they would have stuffed it up. How many times do we stuff it up? Because we won't wait. How many times, if you're out there, do we stuff it up? Because we won't wait. Please wait if God tells you to wait. The Old Testament, or the Old Testament law, God wrote his commandments on tables of stone in Mount Sinai. On Pentecost, God wrote his commandments on tablets of men's hearts with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See the amazing timing of that? Hey? Amazing timing. They were celebrating when God gave his word written on stone. And Pentecost is celebrating when the Holy Spirit came, as Ezekiel prophesied, to write the law of God on men's hearts. I just find that amazing. God's timing is perfect. Well, this is the other thing I've learned in doing this, writing this message. I've said this before from here. I think I don't understand God's timing. I want to understand God's timing. I finally got my answer to that question, right? You know what it is? Do you know what it is? What is it? No, I'm not meant to. I'm not meant to. And I hope I put it down there. There's a message version. That was heaps cool. I shouldn't move my pages. I get confused. You think I'm joking? Now, here it is. Thank you. Smart guy. Who was that? Willie. Mary. Thanks, Mary. Well done. The message version of this says he told them, you don't, because this is normal, right? This is normal human nature. God, when are you going to fix stuff for me? You ever pray that prayer? Come on, God. You're supposed to be creator of the universe. Fix some stuff, right? So the disciples did the same thing. In this conversation, this very conversation, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, they said, when, the Jewish guys, right? When are you going to restore Israel? When are you going to fix our nation? And this is what Jesus said. You don't get to know the time. That's an awesome answer. We love those answers to prayer, don't we? We think God doesn't answer prayer. He always answers prayer. He just says yes, no, or wait. We get an answer like that. We go, oh, I can't hear you, Lord. Timing is the Father's business. I'm not meant to understand God's timing. I'm meant to trust His character. Timing is God's business. Trust is my business. Hey, come on. Timing is God's business. Trusting's my business. You may not be able to trust people, but you can trust God. And that's why they waited, because they knew Him well enough to trust Him. But they weren't just waiting. Number three, God's power works through us when we pray. Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, about 120 of them, for 10 days, praying. That's a long prayer meeting. How long were they meant to have the prayer meeting? Till God showed up. We get, what's your clocks? Prayer meeting must be over. God hasn't even started. Hey? Often. See, God wants to know how much you want Him. Just saying. He's ready. He's waiting. He wants to see how hungry you are. He wants to see how desperate you are. You know what? If you've hit rock bottom, you should be desperate enough to go looking for Him. Surely. You know, they say when you hit rock bottom, you usually look up. Some people, we all have different bottoms. Don't take that the wrong way. Do you know what I mean? Some people's rock bottom, I'm going, man, how much lower do you want to go before you look up? I'm a bit of a scaredy cat, so I hit a bit of a rock bottom and go, God, help me. I suggest today, if you've hit rock bottom, it's time to go, God, help me now. And you probably will. You probably won't have to actually wait that long. I'm wondering about this. What were they praying about? Praying for 10 days. What are they praying about? I'm sure they're eating too, and that little meeting, you know, to decide who was going to take Judas's place. Well, that didn't work out so well anyway. I think they got ahead of God on that one. They chose Matthias and God chose Paul, is my opinion on that one. I could be wrong. They had a committee meeting. This is a bad idea, see? They should have just stuck to praying. I believe the Holy Spirit was in them even before Pentecost. Because remember, Jesus said, He blew on them, says, receive the Holy Spirit. They still had the Holy Spirit. They just didn't have Him in His fullness, and He wasn't poured out in the abundance that He was going to be. He was empowering them, as we see in the Gospels. I believe they are already enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit to a degree and being Spirit-led in their praying. Now, an hour can seem like a long time when we're waiting, say at the doctor's or waiting for a plane or all that kind of thing. But you know what? When we're focused on God, I believe, and I always find this funny, I'm really bad at judging time. Those of you who know me well know that, right? This is the funny part, right? So's my dad. This is the super funny part. He's a watchmaker. He had a workroom full of clocks and watches. Sorry, Dad. He had no idea of the time. And I've inherited that gift and passed it on to some of my siblings, some of my children. It's awesome. But you know what I love? Is I actually love stepping out of time into eternity. And when we come into the presence of God, time seems to disappear. Anyone who's been in the prayer room when we've had it in January and you come in normally booking for an hour, and I know some people stay for an extra hour, you just get lost in the presence of God. Hey? I remember one time, my first ministry job was a ministry assistant at a discipleship program the Salvos ran for a number of years. And one of the students had been tossing their cookies all night. And so it's my job to take them to the hospital because we're worried that they're dehydrated. And I just, you know, thought, oh, I better take something to read and grab my Bible. And so I'm sitting in Belmont Hospital with this poor student who was getting actually two, I don't know, they got at least two, whatever many litres, a litre of that stuff they put in them. Because they were very dehydrated. And we were there for hours. I got to read through the whole book of Genesis. It was awesome. And it didn't feel like hours because I had, you know, I was able to get lost in the Word of God. When's the last time you got lost in the Word of God? I encourage you to get lost in the Word of God. I call it reading the Bible with the Holy Spirit. You'll be reading something and pop something else in your mind. You look somewhere else in the Word and you read that, and suddenly it's like you've had a rich baked dinner spiritually. Hey? And, you know, I think while they were praying, as Jesus taught them how to pray. Jesus taught them how to have a prayer meeting. I reckon the 10 days went pretty quick, to be honest. Jesus said to wait. We go, what are we waiting for? Hey, this is exciting. I wonder when, what God's going to do. I reckon, I don't think it was a long 10 days that they were praying. God's power works through us when we pray. I remember hearing a saying years ago, we need to work as if it's all up to us and pray as if it's all up to God. I really liked that saying when I heard it. So I repeated it. You know, you hear something good, you go, oh, I'm going to share that. So I shared it with someone I really respected. And they said, yeah, that's good. If we pray at all. I felt really rebuked. Hey, he was a seasoned Christian leader who said, if we pray at all. So here's a little exercise for you on your seats, just to make it real. Under point three, you'll see there, I just want you to jot down now, if you want to do the maths, I think it's 156 hours in a week, is that right? But I'm not going to get you to do the maths, because some of you can actually multitask, right? So you might actually eat while you sleep, or work, or something, I don't know what you do. Watch the internet while you sleep, I don't know. Worry, some people can worry 24/7, put your hand up. No, just kidding, I'm kidding, okay, sorry. Okay. Right, so put down how many hours you spend on all those other things. You might want to create some other ones, right? Just take a minute to do this. And put down how much time you spend praying. Because the power's not in eating. The power's not in worrying. The power's in the praying. I actually had this conviction myself this week. We had boys' group. And in boys' group, we were learning how to... What were we learning, Simon? He's not here. He's running kids. God bless him. I was running the group, so I should remember, shouldn't I? But I was on Christian disciplines, right? So how to engage with God. How to spend time with God. There you go. That's what it was. And so we did a couple of different exercises. We did a prayer walk up the street and back. And I'd never walked slowly up this street before. It was great. Just silently, as a group, we walked up and walked back. Just praying and thinking about God, being focused on God. And then we had a bit more time, and so we took a verse and we meditated on that. And the verse I chose to meditate on was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust the Lord in all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways. And if you've ever done kind of Bible meditation where you get a verse and you meditate on it, what happens is normally something sticks out that hasn't stuck out before. And so... the bit that stuck out for me is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I had to admit to the group that actually some of the things that were worrying me most, I wasn't letting God handle them. I actually had worried about them more than I had prayed about them. Isn't that crazy? Hey, can you do yours quietly, please, because you're distracting me. Thank you. Thank you. Just distracting me. I get easily distracted. It's an individual group exercise. All right, have you got your hours written down? Write them down. I'm going to wait here until you've written them down. Not really, but I will give you a little bit more time. Because sometimes it's confronting, isn't it? See, when we put pen on paper, it's confronting. When I was in group on Wednesday, it was confronting to think that I'd worried more about these things that were causing me significant anxiety, right? And I realized I hadn't prayed about them much. That's really stupid. So I'm trying to change that. Okay? Just to be honest with you. Why would I spend more time worrying about something than praying about it? When the power is in the praying, not in the worrying. Who's ever solved something by worrying about it? Has anyone? No, because normally you get irrational. And our brain doesn't work properly when it's irrational. Worry is a feeling. Anxiety is a feeling. And it normally puts our rational brain offline. So next time you want to have a problem-solving session, don't bring anxiety to the party. Bring prayer. And normally the peace of God, it says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Next time you're confused, start to pray, get peace, you'll probably get an answer. Does that make sense? See, that's why I like following the Bible. I think it makes sense to me. Number four, God's power works through us when we, and it gets worse, humble ourselves. There you go. We love that, don't we? Humble ourselves. The Bible more often than says, humble yourselves. You want to humble yourself before God humbles you because it's a lot less painful. Just saying. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. This is Paul, right? Talking to the Corinthians, trying to say to them, hey, look, you know, you can bag me out if you like, but God's called me to be an apostle. You've got to live with it. That's a short synopsis of 2 Corinthians. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. This is what God or Jesus said in prayer to Paul when Paul had this thorn, right? A thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. A lot of people think it was a physical ailment. Something was wrong with Paul that hindered his ministry. And three times he said to God, please take it away. Please take it away. And God said this. This was the answer to Paul's prayer. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is, same word, dunamis. My dunamis is made perfect in weakness. Wow. We don't like that, do we? Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses. That's one of the reasons I'm happy to be stand up here and be honest about my weaknesses, because Paul did. It's actually the right thing to do. Because then you know that if anything right happens, it's God. And we're supposed to give glory to God. See, pride is drawing attention to me. Humility is drawing attention to God and others. So Paul's not being a victim. See, I actually think being a victim is pride. We're drawing attention to ourselves. It's okay if you say, look, I'm sick. I need you to pray for me to be well. But if you moan and groan and that's all you do and never give God any glory, that's not humility. That's self-centeredness, which is pride. Sorry. It's just what it is. Paul says, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. May rest. We don't just want the Holy Spirit's power to come. We want it to rest, the Holy Spirit to rest, to stay. How does the Holy Spirit stay? By us walking in humility, by giving glory and attention to God, drawing attention to God and others, not to ourselves. I said this before, but it's probably worth saying again. Many ministries have started well but not ended well. And I believe it's because of this, is they took credit for what God did. Anything that's half useful that's happened here in the last 10 years is not because of me and Melissa. Just if you're wondering. Those of you who know us well know that already. Okay? It's so important that we give God the glory. It's Him. It's His power. It's His wisdom. It's His love. And if we stay there, then His power will stay. Right? The Bible actually says God opposes the proud. Right? So if you're out there drawing attention to yourself, don't expect an easy ride. Because God's opposing you. But He gives grace to the humble. You know, one of the most humble things you can do is go ask someone to pray for you. God will give you grace. Go and confess your sins to someone in private. God will give you grace. That's how we humble ourselves. Don't go on and on about it. Just say it once. Get prayer and move on. All right. So, do you want to do ministry this way? No. Me either. I don't like hard work. I'll do it, but I don't like it. I'm not saying the other way is not hard. I mean, I think doing these four things is hard, isn't it? How hard is it obeying, waiting, praying, humbling yourself? That's hard. But I'd rather do that than do that and end up with this. So this morning, I'm going to invite the worship team up. On your seats, here's a handout. And this is what we're going to do, right? Is this okay? You can fold it. Doesn't have to be neat. I'm not going to hand out scissors. And just tear the bottom section off like that, right? Woo. And then you can tear those four up if you like to. Because, you know, you may not struggle with all. God's good, right? So he normally just gets us to work on one thing at a time. So don't try and work on all four of those things, right? If you're good at doing things your own way or having a good idea. See, I'm not interested in having a good idea. I want a God idea, right? So you take these out and they correspond out here is the opposites, right? So if you struggle with doing your own thing, you want to find the one that says obeying, doing what God wants. Obeying, doing what God wants. And probably so we don't confuse the life out of people. When you bring the one out you want to swap, just crumple it up and drop it on the ground. We'll clean it up later, all right? Don't put it on the platform because you might get all confused and pick up the wrong one. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? That would wreck the illustration. So if you got all your things, I'm going to put down not praying because I want to pray more. And when I have prayed more, I've seen answers to prayer. That's funny, isn't it? It's a funny coincidence. When I pray more, I see more answers to prayer and I have less things to worry about. So here's my four things. And as we worship, as we are sensitive to the presence of God, if you want to unload one of these four things or more, crumple them up and drop them on the ground and wander across here or across here and find the opposite, right? So if you haven't been praying enough, find the one that says praying, take it home and stick it somewhere where you're going to see it every day. Or, what's another one? Thinking I did it or can do it, you might want to put that down and find humility. I can't do it without God. Anyway, whatever's helpful for you, right? But I know that if I still often do things my own way without God, then you probably do too. So we all got business to do with God this morning, right? Is that okay? So let's spend this time doing business with God. If this is helpful, do it. If it's not helpful, don't do it. But connect with God as we worship Him and let's see what happens.